this is a preposition that's got to objectify a noun for this. And everybody in here got a this. I might not know what your this is, and you don't know what my this is. But if you walked up in here this Sunday morning, you got a this. And you might want to look back over all the thises you've been through in your life and just know God has been mighty, mighty good to you. Let me retweet what God just said to me. When you get a moment, go back and look at your high school yearbook and look at all your senior superlatives from your high school and see if they still superlative. Take a moment this afternoon or next time you go to mama's house and pull out your high school yearbooks and see if all them senior superlatives are still superlative. And then look how God has blessed us in a mighty, mighty, mighty good way. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Mark chapter 4. Just one verse, Mark chapter 4, 37. Mark chapter 4, just one verse. That verse being number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And there arose a great storm of wind. We want to preach this Sunday morning about windy weather. We want to preach this Sunday morning about windy weather. Last week, as Hurricane Irma blew through Florida, parts of South Carolina, and Georgia, as the winds and the waves were raging down south, I found myself at a conference in Chicago, Illinois, which is interestingly called the Windy City. While the winds were blowing down south, I found myself in the Midwest, Chicago, whose nickname is the Windy City. It is called the Windy City because Chicago, Illinois, sits on the banks of Lake Michigan. And it is the chilly breeze that comes off Lake Michigan that passes through all those skyscrapers, makes left turns and right turns, and will find your butt coming out of any hotel in Chicago. Put that back up. There are five great lakes. Lake Erie, Lake Huron, Lake Superior, Lake Ontario, and of course Lake Michigan. The five great lakes of America. Some of them geographically located in Canada as well. Represent 95,000 square miles. 95,000 square miles of water. Because the Great Lakes are so vast and so massive, they actually operate like oceans. And because they operate like oceans, they have the same climates, they have the same temperament as oceans do. And because of that, even Great Lakes can develop hurricanes. And what is interesting about Lake Erie is the shallowest, so has the less depth of all of them. And because because it has the less depth of all of them, hurricanes happen on Lake Erie more than any other of the five lakes. Because it is so shallow, it is boisterous, it is loud, it rages, it can't control its temper. Because it is shallow, because it has no depth. Because it has nothing to hold on to. It loses control more than any of the other Great Lakes. Because it's petty. Y'all with me now? Because it's petty and always looking for mess. It rages faster and more furious than any of the other Great Lakes. On one moment, it's cool and calm. And the next moment, it's got your ship turned over. We all know some Lake Erie's. We all know some Lake Erie's. You met them this morning on Facebook before you got to church. They're going to text you later on this afternoon. Lake Erie is shallow, it is petty, and it is loud. Next time you get in an argument, the person who gets loudest first is the one who ain't got nothing to say. And certainly don't have any facts or substance to back up what they're trying to say. So what they do is they just get louder. So you think you have lost because you left. And on the classic lake of life, storms can come at any moment. We just witnessed again what historians and climatologists say was the worst hurricane to ever hit our shores. As of date, 26 persons have lost their lives as a result of Hurricane Irma. And presently, there are two more tropical storms in the Atlantic that possibly could again wreak havoc on our territory. But again, it is interesting. While the winds were bustling down here, and as I talked to Cynthia to keep up with the conditions going on down here, and as people lost power down here as a result of the wind, it's interesting that even though I was thousands upon thousands of miles in the windy city, there was 10 winds where I was. There were winds down in South Carolina, there were winds down in Florida, there were winds down in Georgia, but there were still winds in Illinois. You cannot escape the storms of life. Now, I don't care how big your Bible is. I don't care how saved and sanctified you are. I don't care how long you've been a member. You cannot escape the storms of life. It always interests me when people want to go to Europe and go to England or take a sabbatical to go find themselves. And I have to remind those people, I get a chance to talk with them, you know your brain goes with you on your trip. You cannot escape and you cannot run away from the storms of life. Here we find in the gospel according to Mark, Jesus and his 12 disciples all on this one boat. And the story tells us in all the synoptic gospels that the winds and the waves began to beat upon the ship so that it was now full. And I would suggest to you that probably one of the issues and reason why the disciples initially were so scared is because they probably could not believe that they were in a storm with the master on the ship. They probably got nervous, probably got scared, probably had looks of chagrin on their face, probably were even in a comatose situation. situation probably were confused because they could not understand how he could be sleeping while the storm was rocking the ship. While they're very scared that the ship was going to cross over, if you read your Bible, he is asleep in the underbelly of the ship. And they're wondering why he ain't scared like they're scared. And for those of us who walk with the Lord, and those of us who have a lot of faith, and those of us who have a sincere prayer life, we wonder sometimes why this is happening to us, as good as I am. As much as I tithe. Don't Jesus see my little volunteer button on? Why is this happening to me? And we expect only bad things to happen to bad people. Well, what committee decided that they were the bad people? Truth of the matter, we just don't know everything in your bad closet. Winds. The winds of life will blow. Well, let me tell you where wind comes from, in case you miss a couple of Sundays in physical science. Wind is caused by pressure. All right? Oh. Somebody passed ninth grade science. Want to be all smart up in here. Wind is caused by pressure. High pressure displaces low pressure. When you have a high pressure gust, it moves and displaces the low pressure. And because it has displaced and moved out the low, it becomes now the high. And it is wind and air are always prevalent. There's air in here right now. You can't see it. You can't feel it. But thank God you are breathing it. Let me say that one more time, unless they need me to call the funeral home. You can't see it. You can't feel it. But the only reason why you're living right now is because you're breathing it. Wind is everywhere and is always moving, but the only time you know it's moving is when the high replaces the low. And the high will move out the low. And when the high moves out the low, that's when you get a gust, and that's when you can feel it, because the high has moved out the low. And all of us need our high self to move out our low self. Oh, ain't nobody want to talk this Sunday morning. All of us got a high self. You might have packed it up. You might have moved it. But even those on the front row and up on this pulpit had at one point in time in life had a low self. And every now and then, if you're not questioned, careful, your low self will overpower your high self. And every now and then, if you don't keep your low self suppressed, your friends and your neighbors will know that you got a low self. And it's the high self, again, it ain't the low self that moves out the high self pressure. It's the high pressure that moves out the low pressure. And that's what all of us need in life, and that's why we need the Holy Ghost in our life to remind ourselves every time that our high self has to move out our low self. And so what we find out on this ship is that the high was moving out the low. Those who did not have enough faith, because they come and question Jesus and say, Master, did you don't even care? Matter of fact, it says, Master cares not that we perish. Master, you don't even care that we're about to die. They were under pressure. Yeah, I mean, they were physically under pressure because they thought that their death was imminent because the winds and the waves were about to turn over their ship. And there's somebody in here. I don't know where you are right now in your
point in place where we think our ships are going to turn over. You lost your job, your marriage broke apart, you lost your scholarship, you lost your money to go to school, you lost a job, you lost your car, you lost even your home, and you thought you were going to capsize. But you can't capsize with the master on your ship. You can't drown in the waters where Jesus is lurking, God. You can handle the pressures of life if you keep Jesus on your ship. I really could stop right there and give the benediction right there, but I'm going to keep on going. But I need to remind somebody, don't get scared. Don't get nervous. Don't get afraid. Jesus is on your ship. But after they notice that wind is caught in by pressure, and high pressure and high winds displace the low pressure. And one of the reasons why we need wind is because not only will it be caused by pressure, but one of the purposes of wind is to propel us. Anyone who's ever been on a sailboat knows that you need wind because the wind will propel you. It will move you forward. You cannot move forward unless there's wind behind your sails. Yes, every now and then it will rock you and it will shake you, but without it, you will not win and you will not move. And so sometimes we wonder why God is shaking us, why God is moving us, and why God is taking us out of our comfort zone and our comfort level. It's because he wants us to move forward because the wind is propelling us. Look back over to some of the things you've been through in your life. Look back over some of the things that God has brought you to, and look at how God has brought you through it and how you are a better person because of it. Ain't nobody thinking right now. I bet you if you start thinking, just start thinking. Just take a moment. I'll wait. Just take a moment and think about the storms and the trials and the tribulations you've been through in life. Do I need to call his name? Do I need to call the supervisor's name? Do I need to call the doctor's name who didn't know what was going on wrong with you and made you get a second opinion? And now because of the second or even the third opinion, you healed? Do I need to remind you if you did not have the liver transplant, you would not have taken that cancer off your kidney? Some of y'all looking at me like everything going well every day of your life. Well, maybe you don't live up here. Maybe you bust in. But every morning, I don't know what the traffic going to do up in here. I don't know if I'm going to be on time or late. Because there's some things in life you cannot control. And those things you cannot control, you got to hope that God has got a wind behind your sail and pushing you to the next section of your life. So next time you come through a storm in your life, again, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. You got to figure out why God is pushing you. And where is he pushing you to? And trust the process. I had a witness up in here. Some of us have been saved so long, we get amnesia on God. Wind is caused by pressure. That wind will propel you. But interesting enough, in this situation, this wind caused some prayer. Yes, the wind caused pressure. The wind will propel you. But in this situation, Ron, this wind caused prayer. Now, I know we need to pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible teaches, and that is a commandment. But too many of us major in panic praying. We only pray when we're in trouble. We only pray when we need something. We only pray when we're trying to clap on a blessing. We only pray when we're in a crisis. We don't talk to God all day long like we should be talking to God all day long. And again, some of us, only pray when we're in trouble and in times of crises.
to pray when we need God to do something in a hurry. Even though we ain't talked to God in a while. Even though we ain't showed up to his temple in a while. And some people just showed up right now because they got a test to take. Because they got a doctor visit coming up. Some people just come to church because they want to have their wedding in your nice sanctuary. And don't want to pay the fees. Some of us only pray in times of trouble. Remind the words of my sainted elder, William Augustus Jones. He says, I'm sure that God does answer panic prayers. But he says he's also sure that God also puts panic prayers on the back burner. If you find yourself not getting the prayer through, it's not because God is not listening. It's because some God is just handling his regular customers. You need to become a regular customer of God. And don't you like it when you are a regular customer at a store or a restaurant, when you walk in the door, they know you by your name. And some of y'all go to the restaurant every time, they even already know your order. Don't tell on yourself right now. They don't even give you a menu because they already know what you're going to order. God will do the same thing for you. If you are a regular customer of God, God knows what you need even before you tell God what you need. Because the Holy Ghost is working on your behalf. The storms caused these men to pray. What you say? I didn't read that. Yes, they did. They talked to Jesus. They talk to Jesus. And anytime you're praying, that's what you're really doing. You're talking to Jesus. Now, they had him physically on the ship. And so they could physically go down those steps and say, Master, Karen, I feel my heart right now. I'm just getting excited. Anytime I scratch my head, something going on right there. They say, Master cares not that we perish. They go talk to him because he's on the ship physically. We have to talk to him spiritually through a process called prayer. Anytime you find yourself again in a pickle, you've got to learn how to get a prayer through. And it's the fervent, righteous prayers of the righteous, rather, that availeth much. It's the fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth, which means availeth means when it comes to pass. Fervent not every now and then. Fervent not when you're just in the crisis. Fervent not just when somebody runs the red light. Fervent not when you get that cut off notice. They went and talked to Jesus. When they talked to Jesus, he heard their cry. And he didn't stay asleep. Even though he was chilling down there. As grandma would tell me, that all should I ain't slumber. And even though they thought Jesus was asleep on the wheel, he knew any and everything that was going on the top of the ship. And that might be a good word for somebody right now. You think Jesus doesn't care. And you think Jesus has forgot about you. Because you keep going through storm after storm. After storm. And it figures out that you never see any sunshine. And I just need to remind you today that God knows. God knows exactly what you're going through. As a matter of fact, he approved for you to be going through what you're going through. Now, ain't nobody really shouted on that. And only two people put their hands together. Because you wonder sometimes why I got to go through this. And you don't want to hear this Sunday morning, you're strong enough to go through it. You don't want to hear this morning that it's another faith test. You don't want to hear this morning that God knows that you can handle it. Well, I didn't already show God that I can handle it because I done been through one, so why he got to bring me through another test? See, sometimes, baby, you just going through what's called a pop quiz. You ain't really been through the test you think you're going through. When I was a professor at the university, I used to give 12 pop quizzes every semester. 12 pop quizzes every semester. 12 every
semester, but two things happen if people paid attention to them. Number one, you got 12, but you only got 100 points. You got 12, but you only got 100 points. There were 10 questions on each one of the pop quizzes. That's 120 points, but you only got credit for 100, which means you could miss one, a whole quiz, and still make 100. Matter of fact, you could miss two, or you could not do well on one, but all the points added up. But if you were real smart, my students would realize that the same questions that were on the pop quiz, I cut and paste and put them on the test. And so if you were really smart, you realize that I've already seen this before. And so when he gave the answers out after the pop quiz, if I just remembered the answers he gave out on the pop quiz, when the final comes, I realize I done already seen this. So ain't nobody want to say nothing over here. If you just realize what you have already seen and what you've already gone through, and God has already given you the answer, it's going to come back again. You know his number. You know when he showed up on your call ID. You know when that supervisor doesn't have a bad day. You know when somebody done gone crazy because you done already seen it. So what you falling out for? If you pay attention, his presence in here this Sunday morning. I didn't feel it earlier, but the spirit of confusion is out the place right now. Anybody seen the test of life and you know you can pass it? So stop falling apart. Give God glory because he's going to give you the answer and it's in the word of God. Perish not that we perish. No! And look what God has done. Look what God has done. After that, there was a man by the name of Peter on that ship. And Peter saw what God had done. Peter was one of the 12 on the ship. And Peter felt those winds and the waves moving. Peter saw the ship tossing and turning. And Peter realized that the ship could have turned over because now the winds were blowing against the ship. But after Jesus died, after he died in the physical, after he was no longer walking with them every day, he remembered a commandment that he had given them. Number one, that they had to take that gospel, the fact that he lived, he died, and he's coming back again. Don't you forget that he's coming back again. It's part of the gospel story. It's not just the good news that he lived and that he died and that he rose. But the good news of the gospel is that he's coming back again. That's the good news of the gospel, that he's coming back again. And so Peter felt those waves and he felt those spirits. And one day the spirit came. And the Bible says that it came like a mighty rushing wind. I wish I had a Bible reader up in here. That he was on that ship and the winds came. And he felt that the ship was about to turn over. But on another day, when they were in one place, on one accord, the Bible says that that wind came again. And that wind took Peter by the hand. Not only did the wind take Peter by the hand, it made Peter open up his mouth. And the Bible says that Peter began to preach. I said the Bible says that Peter began preaching. And because he began preaching, 3,000 souls were added to the church on that day because the wind had come. I said because the wind had come. It had come like a mighty rushing wind. It had already been prophesied by Jesus that on that day that he sends the Holy Ghost, that on that day he sends the wind, that you will receive power. I said you will receive power. I said you would receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come. Can I get a witness? In it now and then, on that day. They were in one place and on one accord. And after that, the wind came. Problem why we got so many problems today, because we can't never get in one place and on one accord. Everybody wants to do their own thing. But the Holy Ghost will only come when everybody is right in their hearts and right in their spirits. And that's when we will receive power. And I don't know about you, the storms of life will beat upon you. The storms of life will hurt you. The storms of life will weaken you. The storms of life will cause you to question your own humanity and especially your own mortality. But that's why he sends the wind. It's called a second breath. Runners, when they are fatigued, they feel that second breath. And after feeling that second breath, that's when they get the strength and the energy to finish the race. When God created us, he breathed in us one time. But when he sent the Holy Ghost, I said when he sent the Holy Ghost. They ain't Pentecostal. I said when he sent the Holy Ghost. I said when he sent the Holy Ghost, that's when you got your second wind. Y'all Baptist folks scared of the Holy Ghost. Y'all Baptist folks scared that the Holy Ghost gonna make you run around and mess up your nice little St. John suit. But you don't know they do make another suit, right? Y'all Baptist folks don't want to talk about because somebody think you ain't edumacated. But I know I got just as much education as anybody in here, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all that is done to me, and the fact that the Holy Ghost lives in me, grows in me, and helps me with every test of life, I can't thank God for the praise of the Holy Ghost. Anybody want to thank God for the Holy Ghost that is coming in your life? Stand on your feet, stand on your feet.